Info.
Yes, we are Nigeria Info. We're broadcasting live from Etim Inyang Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. Lagos, good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. It's Thursday, and every Thursday we do health and health related matters. Today, incidentally, is World Sight Day, and we're talking about caring for your eyes. Let me put this out there. If you got questions concerning your sight, questions concerning the health of your eyes, feel free to start sending them in now, because you know how time flies on these programs. Just send in your questions and I would send them to my guest is right here seated already. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. If you're watching already, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time and your efforts to be part of us from anywhere in the world. If you are in the diaspora and you'd like to be a part of our conversation, you can use WhatsApp or Skype. Skype ID is Nigeria Info FM. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. All right, so let's get started. In Nigeria, concerns are being expressed over the spiraling number of Nigerians in need of some kind of eye care. According to optometrists, eye doctors, nearly 7 million people in Nigeria are blind out of the nearly 300 million people that are blind across the world. That's about 90% living in developing countries, according to eye doctors. In 2007, it was estimated that among people aged 40 years and over, around 1.1 million were blind and over 403,000 were severely vision impaired. In Nigeria here, that was back into... So imagine what the data, the real data. Incidentally, maybe my guest will have the recent data. But listen to this one here. An international NGO, Sight Savers Nigeria, they said that more than 4.7 million people in Nigeria are at risk of blindness from an advanced form of trachoma. 128.9 million people in Nigeria are at risk of neglected tropical diseases, NTDs, a major cause of preventable blindness around the world, and people living in poverty are particularly badly affected. That's what they said. I will give another data here before I introduce my guest. In 2021, the Minister of Health, Osage Hanire, through the Ministry's Permanent Secretary, said poor awareness and unnecessary, or let me say, a lack of access to eye services are causing blindness in Nigeria. According to him, many people still seek unorthodox eye care, which leads to disastrous treatment of outcomes, which eventually may lead to sight, you know, loss for some people. I'm going to stop here for now because I would like for our guest to, you know, do justice to the topic for today. It's World Sight Day 2022, also known as World Eye Day, or if you like, World Vision Day. It's a global event which aims to draw attention on the issue of blindness and vision impairment. And every year on the Crossfire, we always have, you know, eye doctors on the show that would come and enlighten and educate us, you know, on some of the eye problems that are existing. Dr. Saka Idris, an ophthalmologist, is here with us in the studio. Dr. Idris, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
It's good to have you here. Yeah, Dr. Idris is a perfect gentleman, by the way. He's so cool and calm. Let me ask maybe an unrelated question. Is there an eye doctor that doesn't use glasses?
Oh, yes. I know. Yeah, you're right. There are several eye doctors that don't use glasses.
Is that even possible?
Oh, well, you know, we try to help people's eyes, and then, you know, eventually we have to fall victim of our own.
But there are some that don't fall victim. There are some that...
Don't take it that way. You know, we'll talk about the stats later, but...
Let's go on, please. At what point can someone say that I have a sight problem?
Okay, well, this is the basics, huh? So yeah, assuming we're all going to live to about 50 years thereabout, minimum life expectancy, you know, 55, 60 thereabout, or 80, who knows, for the lucky people. At some point in time, eyes contain cells, the cells would grow old, they will age. So, you know, aging, the eye goes through a lot of aging process, and part of this aging process would eventually lead to gradual, subtle reduction in visual function. So there's no point, really.
Okay.
As you grow older, you need to get routine eye checks, because as you're growing older, things are changing. Very soon, you have your beards are all black now, starving gray hair. The eye too, there's some aging changes, and you know, some group of people with that are predisposed to having some certain eye diseases,
right?
Genetic wise, you know,
right.
They're even at higher risk of having those diseases. There are several situations that we can be predisposed to. We know in this age and time where children are all about
phones, gadgets.
Yeah, you know, you find more children using thick glasses, you know, becoming short-sighted. So it's not a matter of at what age.
Is there a connection between, I'm glad you mentioned that. Is there a connection between using gadgets all the time, looking at the computer screens, or the gamers, for instance, who are stuck to their TV screens, playing games all day? Is a connection to reflection of rays from the screens, the gadgets, to health of the eyes?
Okay, let's start with demographics. We look at the children. For the demographics. When exposed, children, they have growing eyes, you know, the eyes are still developing. You know, for the eye, you know, the adult eye comes into the full size of the eye, full function of the eye, usually about teenage years. You know, the eye continues to grow in size, anterior, posterior wise, you know, the thickness of the lens and the other small structures in the eye. So when you have a child that you're exposing to, a 3-4 year old child that's always on gadgets, the eye is thinking, you know what, maybe this is how I'm supposed to see. I only see things that are close to me. And then you find the eye trying to grow to that need, to that demand of continuous near vision. That's why sometimes you encourage children, go and play outside. Don't play inside the house. No TV today. Go out and play in the football field. But, you know, you find children just locked up. They have one phone there. They have PlayStation there. You know, they are all locked up with gadgets. Near vision is, they don't explore their far vision. So the eye is encouraged to develop short range. That's for the children. So you see, that's the link between that one. You're encouraging the eye to do
You are not challenging the eyes.
Exactly.
You're not pushing it.
Yeah, that's one. Two, for the adult group, yes, we know our screens, our computer screens, our mobile phones, they all come with varying... light rays itself is about one wave end to the other wave end. You know, it's a spectrum. So there's some that is quite harmful. There's some rays that are quite harmful. But now... the special effect God has put in our eyes is that there are some structures in the eye that can filter out the harmful rays. There are some natural structures, like our lens.
Inside the eyes?
Yes, like the lens in the eye is able to filter a particular wavelength of light. A particular wavelength, especially the blue, which is harmful. The lens is just a perfect structure. So you see, when the body itself, when you don't take care of your body, you know, this common proverb people say, the eye is a window of the eye, or how do they say it? I think it's the other way.
The eye is the window of the body.
Exactly. So you see, you don't take care of your eyes, you don't eat good food, you don't take good vitamins, nutrients. This special effect that your lens has to be able to filter out this harmful radiation.
Yeah.
You don't get it from the fact that you don't take care of your body. And then you find people developing some early retinal changes, macular changes. Yeah, so basically, there's no direct link, but everything we do creates a risk that can affect our eyes in the long run.
Indeed. Yeah. Dr. Idris, let's pick some of these things one after the other, because I have I have so many areas that I'm thinking that we can cover. Let's start with cataract. What is it? How do you detect it? Is it preventable? Is it curable? Is it genetic?
All right, fine. So we'll start with cataract. I'm glad you're starting with that.
Yeah.
So I'll start with some basics like I like to do. You know. Yeah. So the bad news is that practically all of us will have cataract. Every human being will have cataract.
Excuse me.
I can agree with you.
Everybody.
Yeah, you just have to live long enough, really. You just have to live long enough. But then, don't take it that way. Okay. Cataracts is number one cause of treatable blindness. Number one. Like, anybody has cataract, good surgery, vision is restored. But you should understand that the fact that everybody will have cataract doesn't mean everybody will have blinding cataract. So yeah, I grew up to 80, I have cataract, I'm still seeing well. But I might have some subtle features of, the cataract might have created some subtle changes in my vision. Okay. But what cataract does basically is, in the early stages, okay, let's start with the function of the eye. The eye serves to see, color, identify color, contrast, and identify images basically. So initial stage of cataract, you find people lose some subtle color vision. They have some subtle loss in color vision.
Okay.
They have some subtle change in contrast. We know the common movie, 50 Shades of Grey. By the time you start having cataracts,
those things,
maybe 10 shades of grey or 2 shades of grey, you know. So you lose, but those things don't affect day-to-day living. They can still drive. Nobody knows they don't identify colors. They know the Ankara colors, basically, you know. Yeah. They can still live their day-to-day. So people don't complain. People don't have a problem. It's when they go for their routine checks and you find the optometrist or the panel, you're saying, oh, you have some cataract. I didn't know. Yeah, you would not know really because it's affecting some subtle component of your visual function, which, you know, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
When it starts to affect the vision, your visual acuity, that's when the complaint comes about. And then you find people saying, I can't see. The adults, especially the 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old people, when it starts at the early stage, they say, I can't see. When people are far away from me, I can't see their face until they come near. That's the cataract talking there. You say, no, but now I can even read my Bible very. I don't need glasses. That's the cataract there talking.
Oh.
Cataract, at the early stages of cataract, in some people, it confers this ability to be able to see near very well. And then they lose distance.
Okay.
It confers them this ability because the lens is, when you talk about cataract, it's the lens in the eye. The lens starts to become opaque. You know, for it's naturally transparent.
Okay.
And it starts translucent, you know, eventually becomes opaque. That's when we see this whitening in people's eyes. That's the blinding end stage in cataract. Where the early stages, translucent, lens becomes bulky, and they have this near vision that's very good. And they say, oh no, it's the miracle from the tabernacle, you know, or whatever it came from. But you know, the eye care providers, we just, you know, fine, it's a miracle, but I can assure you, this looks like cataract. This is what cataract does in the early stages.
Right.
So, cataract surgery, right now in 2022, the best treatment for cataract is surgery. The only, the most effective treatment for cataract is surgery. Now, it's a very simple surgery. It's, in fact, it's about the most successful implant surgery because basically you have to remove the lens because the lens is no longer clear. You have to put a new one.
Okay.
So it's the most successful implant surgery, not just in Nigeria, and the worldwide world. It's probably the most common surgery too, and it's a very easy, fast surgery. 10 to 30 minutes, one eye.
Can a teenager get to that point of needing surgery for cataract?
So cataract...
Or is it abnormal for a teenager to get to that?
It's not abnormal. So cataract has some genetic components.
Okay.
You find that some children, they come out with cataract. Newborns.
Newborns.
Congenital cataract, yeah.
Oh.
So you see, as much as it's grossly age-related, you find that there are some early forms of cataract. When children come out with cataract, white, blinding, they can't see.
Ooh.
In those cases, you don't want to fiddle with those children. Say, you know, take them to the village, you know, try this, try this. It's part of what we're here to talk about.
Okay.
Love your eyes, you know, save lives. Children with congenital cataracts, you don't want to waste time with it. Because you waste time with it, like I said earlier, if you don't stimulate the eye to develop into what it needs to do.
Yes, you mentioned that.
Yeah. So a child comes out with blinding cataract, white cataract in both eyes. That child needs to have surgery within the first or second month of life. If you don't do that, the eye just assumes,
This is it.
Yeah, but it's all darkness everywhere. And then the brain is, basically the eye is an organ that just does the work.
Yeah.
The brain is the one that does the processing. The brain is the hardware. It's the CPU. So the brain is collecting input from the skin, sensation, input from the ear, from the nose, from the mouth. Can't get anything from the eyes. What does the brain do? The brain is just a very plastic organ that can be molded, you know. So the brain just assumes, oh, well, this eye, no information from here. So eventually, if you don't do the surgery earlier for children, you do the surgery, clean surgery, beautiful surgery, and then this child, oh, what can you see? The child still can't see because the brain had grown into understanding that this.
Oh, wait, even after the surgery, if it's delayed.
Exactly. That's the point.
Oh.
If it's delayed. So you see, those are some little. There's so much about AI if you start this way, but yeah, if it's delayed, it's not a good way to start. You do the surgery, and then the child is there struggling to have optimal vision. So you see, there's so much about that. I think you just can have it too. There's some form of developmental cataract. Cataract comes in shapes and sizes and forms. You know, there's some that you don't really need to touch. There's some cataract that's so small. Live a good life. So you see, everybody's at risk of this thing. Small, you know.
Stop threatening us with this. It's 8:22. I'm going to take just one call. I have messages pouring in already on WhatsApp. You know, I said earlier it's going to be mainly your questions to the doctor. I just thought to chip that in. I have quite a number of areas I would love to cover. But let's see if we can squeeze in a call for the good doctor here. Oh, wow. My lines just came all alive at once. Morning to you. Good morning.
Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Please, I want to only complain about constantly stretching of faith. And if I'm saying far, I won't see that person very well. I don't even know if it is the person I know until the person called me. Okay. I don't know what is causing it.
Your eyes is constantly itching. Oh, wow. Did you get that, Dr. Idris?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
This is a radio show. I'm sorry. This is a radio show. It's a simple thing, you know. It's a simple thing. You have some basic eye symptoms. There are eye clinics everywhere. This is Lagos. Please, let's not do this on the radio show. Go to the nearest eye clinic. It's complaints that will be addressed in such quick time with so much pleasure at the end of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what
you shouldn't wait for a radio show to...
Exactly. You shouldn't wait for a radio show.
I always say this anyways on this show every Thursday that we're not here to diagnose. We're here to educate. We're here to enlighten, not to diagnose or treat anything, basically. Let's put that out there again today so that we're all clear. Let me go to WhatsApp. I'll leave the telephone line, Novex. Let's just take some messages on WhatsApp first, and I'll come back much later on after the break. This individual says, I want to know more about pterygium because I have it in my eyes.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll talk about pterygium now. I'm hoping we'll talk about glaucoma too.
Yeah.
All right. So, pterygium, it's one of those common eye diseases. It's practically, you find those of us living in the tropical areas.
Okay.
That's our number one problem.
Hold on. We need to take this break. Otherwise, this system will cut us off. After this break, we'll come back and continue with our conversation on pterygium. Stay here, Lagos. We'll be back. Oh, yes. It's 8:38 here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Let me put the disclaimer out there. We may not be able to play our game today, previously on. You know why? The questions that I have for Dr. Idris on the show today, they're overwhelming. We've been going through it together, and we couldn't even get to one third of the questions, you know, that we have. But we'll try our best to cover, you know, some of these questions. But hey, you're welcome back to Health Thursday here on the Morning Cross Fire, and we're discussing World Sight Day today on the show. Before the break, Dr. Saka Idris, an ophthalmologist, was talking to us about pterygium. Dr. Idris, let's continue with the pterygium explanation.
All right. So yeah, pterygium, it's a growth. So I'll start with some basics.
Yeah.
I like too much basics. With the basics, we get to know where we're coming from and where we're likely to go.
Yeah.
So the eye is covered by, we have the black part of the eye that I can see, you can see, you know, and then we have the white part. See, that white part is covered by a very transparent sheet, like a nylon. So irritation of the surface of the eyeball. So we understand that the eye is lubricated constantly by tears. Every blink serves to lubricate the eye, like the windshield wiper of our cars. So chronic irritation. So now pterygium doesn't have a cause, like it's this guy, pick this guy, this is the culprit. No, it has risk factors that can lead to the development of pterygium. So we have chronic irritations. People that stay in dusty areas, we in tropical sunny areas, exposure to ultraviolet rays, you know, from the sun. That's why you find people with a lot of eye care providers telling you, put on sunshade, put on when you're outdoor, put on your sunshade, your, you know.
Yeah.
So you see risk factors, and then pterygium is nothing serious really. But you can make an ophthalmologist a very bad doctor.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I tell you that. It can make you a very bad doctor. Because why? Simple procedure, pterygium excision, you excise it, a minor surgery, you excise it.
Yeah.
But the downside, what makes you a bad doctor, the ophthalmologist a bad doctor, is it can grow back.
Oh.
It can grow back. Because these risk factors I've mentioned, you want to tell me you won't come, out in the sun again.
Yeah. I mean, you're still in that environment.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
The risk factor is constantly there. Ocular irritation can be tackled, you know. Let's say the person is a bricklayer, works with a little, you know, dust exposure to the eye every day.
Yeah.
You want him not to eat. The risk factors are there, and then you can find pterygium reoccurring. Even when you know, there are several ways to mitigate the recurrence, but, you know, when it reoccurs, the first thing that comes to a patient's mind is, they not doing well, though. They don't do the pterygium. We don't grow back. They not doing well. But, you know, everybody should know that the risk factors are there.
Is it uncomfortable?
Yeah, it's quite uncomfortable because the moment is like, you know, a bit poo on your windshield. And then you use your wiper. Your wiper is not getting it off.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable for the wiper. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable for the windshield. You, the driver, you really can't see clearly. You know, it doesn't make the surface of the windshield lubricated well enough. So it's quite uncomfortable. It destabilizes the surface of the eye, the lubrication of the surface of the eye. So there might be some subtle symptoms. And, you know, this, when you have the pterygium growing actively, you know, the eye might be red. You see them daytime, early in the morning, red, and you're asking, did you smoke yesterday? What's happening? Why is your eye red? You know, pterygium can be that uncomfortable in some group of people. And then pterygium can be really, really, I mean, people that don't really pay attention to the eyes. Because that's part of what we're here to say. It starts to grow so much that it encroaches into the black part of the eye, the cornea. So much that it becomes a blinding pterygium.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, that's why we're saying this. You know, we should all take care of the eyes, pay attention to it. A little pterygium, remove it on time, you're good. Some people let it grow so much that, you know, they come when they can't see with the eye again.
Now we're talking about the pterygium. Maybe this is not pterygium. You see some people's eyes. You have stains all over it, especially the white part. You can see the veins, you know. What's that? And can that be cleaned? Can the white parts of the eyes be cleaned up?
You understand that... okay, fine. You understand that the eye... Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what, something my cousin used to tell me a long time ago.
Yeah.
He says, you know, so when I did my ophthalmology training, at the end of it, he came to me and said, you're an ophthalmologist. You're a parasurgeon now. You're a para doctor. You're not a real doctor. You're just a roadside doctor. I was like, why are you saying this? Because the truth is, the eye is a very small organ. It's a very small organ. Mm. Very, very small. So I go to school for a long period, for years, only to train about the eye. So it's feeling like, look at you. Some people are trained about the brain, big organs, and you're there. So you see, the eye is there. It's a very small organ.
Yeah.
It requires everything that the big organs require. It requires every single thing the big organs require. The brain requires a lot of blood, nutrients, electrolyte.
Yeah.
The eye requires it. The eye might look white, but I can assure you there are blood vessels, arteries, veins,
going inside,
into the eyes, supplying the eye with what it needs. So when you find them, those arteries and veins becoming very visible, it's entirely not abnormal.
Okay.
It's what you have. It's what we have. But, you know, when it becomes engorged and very visible and the eye is red, it's probably something happening, you know, in the eye or in the body system. You find people with hypertension, you know. Generally, you know, when we talk about eye, you don't want to be an eye doctor and not
focus on all those areas.
Yeah, you find someone with hypertension, high BP. What do you expect? The vessels in the eye are congested. The blood is pumping in so much force. You find the vessels in the eye all red and engorged. And then you're thinking it's the eye problem. No. So the eye is not a standalone organ, really. I'll go to another common thing we used to hear, that the eye is an extension of the we in the eye setting, we talk about it. The eye is an extension of the brain. In fact, when you look at the embryology, the development of the eye is part of the first organs that develop just by the brain. It's just like an outpouching from the brain. So the eye is an extension, a clean, clear extension of the brain. It's not a standalone organ. So you can't really say, it's just my symptoms are just eye. No. So many things that...
Let's take some messages. 8:44, time flies by really quickly. Ola Jesu from Ikorodu says, I was diagnosed of glaucoma at Ikorodu General Hospital in 2017 and was told to do CCT and OCT tests and was confirmed after the test, but I had to seek second opinion from other eye clinics and the ophthalmologist there. I said, I don't have glaucoma. After examining my eye and looking at the same OCT and CCT test results, now I'm confused. Already started using this eye drop every night since 2017, and none of the ophthalmologists that said I have can't even tell me, or none of the ophthalmologists that told her that she had glaucoma can't even tell her that the type of glaucoma that she has. Nobody has told her that. And she's saying that what should I do, because I'm so scared looking losing one's sight.
Mm. All right, great. So we'll talk about glaucoma in bits here. So glaucoma is really common. It's a cause of blindness, but let's not panic. It's not a cause of blindness tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, someone is diagnosed with glaucoma today, you're not going blind tomorrow. No, not even next month. Mm. It's a gradual, painless deterioration in vision. It might take years, decades. Mm. You know. So yeah. Like I was saying earlier, before you know, we came back on. When it comes to science and the eye and discoveries, inventions, new therapies, I tell you that the eye is about is in the forefront when it comes to new therapies, new interventions, new innovations in terms of eye care.
Mm.
Like a lot of new things are happening. Now you see that OCT she mentioned.
Yeah.
This is about the best thing that's happened, you know, when it comes to eye care diagnosis.
Mm.
I think it's about 30, 40 years technology, and it's evolved so well now that, you know, it's about the best thing. Now, this lady, I can only imagine, you've seen, it's always a good thing to seek a second opinion.
Yeah.
We understand that, yeah, so for glaucoma, when OCT came, OCT revolutionized the diagnosis of glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
OCT was so sensitive to determining, to assessing the group of cells that are usually damaged in glaucoma.
Mm.
So you find people, the ophthalmologist or the eye care provider looks into their eyes, I'm suspecting glaucoma, but you know, this person might cut off as normal, really. And then you send this person to do OCT. OCT gives a lot of information, a lot. So the OCT is so very sensitive that it tells you that, these cells, the glaucoma, the cells that we usually check when we're talking about glaucoma, the ganglion cells, it tells you that, these cells are a little bit reduced for this person's age, sex, and demographics.
Mm.
Most people of this person's age usually have this thickness. This person has this thickness.
Mm.
Just maybe as subtle as, you know, just that. A very small gap.
Mm.
And then just it tells you, if I'm the ophthalmologist, I look into your eyes, your eye looks grossly normal, you know, it looks like my own, like normal. But the OCT is saying, there's this subtle. So tell me if you're my ophthalmologist, because I have my own subjective opinion, because I looked into your eyes.
Yeah.
Then the OCT is saying
that it's not so.
It's not saying it's entirely abnormal, but because of sensitivity, the ability to pick small details.
The tiny details.
Yes.
So we're speaking with.
Yeah. The person at that stage probably doesn't have any symptom, any sign.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're the ophthalmologist, your OCT is telling you, OCT is a lot more objective.
Mm.
You repeat the OCT with 10 different OCT machines or anywhere.
Yeah.
It's able to still pick.
What should she do now? Continue using the eye drops? Or what exactly should she do?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong in the third opinion.
Okay.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong in being on the safe side, really.
Okay.
OCT is very sensitive. That's, in fact, you know, sometimes I think about it, with seeing OCT results that show features of early glaucoma, I'm just like, why did OCT come into existence? Because you can't stop making the diagnosis, because it picks it. You know. But then, you know, so much information with OCT. OCT sometimes can put you on the fence as an ophthalmologist.
Hmm.
It will give you some information that, in keeping with glaucoma, some information that in the middle, some information are still normal. And then you're on the fence.
So what should I do as a
In that situation, there are several other things we can do, you know, to I'm on the fence. OCT is on the fence too. I'm looking at your eye, I'm on the fence. So there are certain other things we can do. Fine. Number one, you want to know, is there any family history, any genetic component? If there's a family history, I can assure you this person is probably in that line of developing glaucoma.
Mm.
So you have to pick some small convictions here and there. Two, we have this water drinking test. We have facing.
Okay.
You have to check the eye pressure. We have person has done CCT already, central corneal thickness, you know. Mm. All these little factors here and there, you add them together and then make your
conviction. You can make an informed decision.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at another one here from Olamide. Olamide says that my question goes this way. Is it advisable to get photochromic eyeglasses without consulting an eye doctor?
Photochromic eyeglasses, it's just sunshade, really.
Just Sunshade.
Sunshade is special with technology, especially.
We should stop using big English.
Yeah.
Mm, it's just Sunshade.
Yeah, but you know, it's not entirely Sunshade because it's Sunshade is like filters all rays of it, reduces the intensity of light.
Yeah.
But photochromic allows everything and narrows down to a particular wavelength. Doesn't allow that particular wavelength get through. So yeah, there's not a big deal with photochromic. You find some people selling it over the counter in some countries. It's not a big deal, really.
Mm, okay. I noticed recently that once I am under hot sun, I feel uncomfortable in my eyes. Can't look at a screen that is very bright.
This is not a diagnostic show.
Okay.
Yeah. So
the person needs to go and see a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sometimes when I have migraines, I observe that I do have a blurry vision. After a few minutes, it stops. I want to know if it's associated with eye issues.
Okay. We'll go back to the initial statement I made.
Okay.
The eye is an extension of the brain.
Mm.
Migraine is primarily a brain pathology. It's a brain condition.
Okay.
The eye is just, it's like the long leg of the brain, you see. So migraines and the eye, 5 and 6. Some people come with migraine. They have some eye symptoms. They know, oh no, I'm going to develop my migraine. And start getting some aura, visual aura, images, object distortions. Eye problem itself, eye issues can, someone that is at risk of migraine, when they have eye issues, it can trigger migraine. So they're just like brothers, you know. So anybody with migraine should see an ophthalmologist and a neurologist.
Yeah.
They should have those two doctors at their beck and call, you know. So okay. Yeah, they are related.
So I have quite a number of calls, as you can see. I have messages as well, but we're out of time. Your parting shot to on today's World Sight Day, what would it be?
Let me make it a parting gift or trial or something I want everybody to try. Something I tried a long time ago, and then
okay.
I became more conscious of my eye myself and the eyes of people that I take care of.
Okay.
So, you know, it was at night. I decided, you know what? I've seen so much eyes today. I've seen so much pathologies. So I decided to close my eye. I was in my house. Closed my eye. I'm hungry. I wanted to get food or drink or something to eat. In my own house, closed my two eyes. I'm going to do this without my eyes. I'm going to feed myself, you know, get my cup of water and drink without my eyes. The point is, we all underestimate our vision. I can tell you that day, I know the injury I sustained. I'm in my house. In the house I'm familiar with, you know, somewhere I've always been. We all underestimate our eyes, really. And God gave us two because, you know, you need to have spare. But we all underestimate it so much, which is not good. You close your eye, try to move around in your house. There's no way you not hit your leg on furniture or use your hand to poke put your hand in. So we should always pay attention to our eyes. You don't need to have any symptom. The eye is a very gentle, humble organ. Doesn't tell you I'm sick. It endures a lot of issues, you know. So routine eye checks is about the best thing. Take care of your eyes.
Yeah.
You don't want to keep a child or an adult or your grandma. We find people leaving their grandma in the village, coming back years out. Anyway, the point is, you know, we should not underestimate our eyes. We should not take our eyes for granted and the eyes of other people for granted. At one more part in short, you know. And you go into the streets of Lagos now.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks ago, I was bruised, you know. It was, you know, a Lagosian now. You know, normal thing is to throw a few tantrums. Because I'm an eye care provider, automatically my brain was like, you know what? This guy probably has some visual problems. I'm giving the benefit of doubt. Like, well, if only you would go and see, because you know, it was something that was why did this happen? This shouldn't happen if you have good vision and your car was LD, you know. So, a lot of us underestimate our eyes, you know. So, we really need to
go see a doctor.
Love
today.
Our eyes, we need to put some.
How often should someone see a doctor in a year?
On average, once.
Once in a year. Once.
If there's nothing to worry about, just your recent eye checks once or twice maximum.
Dr. Saka Idris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, you're most welcome.
You've been great. I think I should drag you here, you know, more often because I can't handle all these questions that I have here. Well, thank you so much for being gracious this morning. Lagos, that's our show. Please go see an eye doctor today. It's World Sight Day. And there are hospitals around you doing outreaches. There are clinics. There are government hospitals doing free eye checks. Just look around. Ask around and you get one, you know, to do one for you today. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Good morning to you.